Hey guys, how's it going? Welcome to Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network.
Damn straight.
I'm host number 1A, William the Opinion Updike.
And I'm 1B, positive Chuck Mockler. 1B still feels like 2, if I'm being totally honest.
We got a heck of a show lined up for you today. Today is Twitter Tuesday, which we do every single Tuesday. So if you're listening in, that's at Locked On Clips on Twitter. Be sure to check it out. You can send in your questions any time of the week if you're unable to make it. And if you are able to make it, thanks for streaming with us. As I said, we got a heck of a show lined up for you today. We got a recap of that sweet, sweet victory over the Brentwood Lakers. Really big there, pretty much.
Huge.
Might have
ended their season.
Might have put the nail in the coffin on their playoff hopes. So we got a pretty in-depth recap of that for you. We'll be going over some stuff. And then, as I said, it's Twitter Tuesday, so we'll be taking questions live from you guys. We got a few ones sent in beforehand, and then we're just going to be kind of interacting with people as they come in. So, if you haven't been before, thanks for tuning in. Let's get into it.
Yeah, so last night the Clippers beat the Brentwood Lakers 113-105.
Oh, yeah.
In what was a pretty hotly contested game, I would say, all the way throughout. So just to update you on the playoff schedule right now, as of now, the Clippers' odds of making the playoffs are 98.4.
Oh yeah, I was on 538, and it
pretty
said
good.
And it said 95%, but still very good.
Yeah, and then the Lakers are at a cool 0.9%,
which ironically enough is the same percentage chance that the Clippers have of winning the finals, according to 538.
We're right there, baby. Right there.
What we're still saying is that there's a fraction of a chance.
There was a bunch of for how many players the Lakers actually lost, like right before the game, they put up a hell of a fight.
Yeah, definitely.
Like right before the game, Lance was ruled out, Tyson Chandler was ruled out, Brandon Ingram was surprisingly ruled out with a shoulder injury.
For sure.
You know, it just took an absolutely insane three-point shooting night from Rondo
to keep them in this game.
To keep it close.
It's kind of interesting the way the narrative has shifted after this game. M. Chonger just commented that the Lakers faithful have switched from battling for the eighth seed to contending for the ninth pick in the draft, which is a really funny kind of narrative flip.
And they're jumping ship right now. I think Snoop Dogg posted a video about how he was selling his seats for $5.
Yeah, you posted that Flea is out.
Flea is very upset at the Clippers right now. Dude, you guys can't lose Snoop and Flea. That's like other than Jack Nicholson, that's like two of the Mount Rushmore of Lakers fans.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, Billy Crystal is still firmly on this bandwagon. He's driving it.
We're taking Penny Marshall for the Clippers too.
And also, just before we even dive in too deep into these stats, what do you guys think about the Clipper Nation bandwagon? We're open for business, right?
Dude, tell your friends.
give us your tired, your sick, your cast away. We're Ellis Island over here,
maybe
baby.
Maybe not that sick, but you know, that's fine. We'll do some stats real quick. Gallo led the Clippers with 23 points on 9 of 15 shooting.
Yeah.
2 of 3 from beyond the arc.
Most of this was in the first half of the game, which is always like a little bit troublesome to me.
For sure.
But, you know, we really didn't need him to have any sort of explosion. Really, after the third quarter, I mean, for better or worse, things were pretty much locked up.
It was in hand, and there was a bunch of shoulder slumping by the Lakers, so I think, you know, Gallo just wanted to get out of there.
Yeah, definitely. Lou added 21 off the bench.
Huge. Trez had 14, 11, and 5. And then, I mean, player of the game, who we're going to talk about after we lay out some of these Lakers stats, was Patrick Beverley.
Oh, I mean, from the tip.
Oh, my God.
He was ready to go. We've talked about it on here a little bit before, but we saw him the day before after the Knicks game. He was charged up for this.
He wanted
like
the first
he was
he
charged
said,
up.
When he wanted LeBron, and then in the locker room, he was shouting it, and then he said, and no help. He goes, I don't want any help on LeBron.
Absolutely.
He finished with a line of 13, 9, 4, and 5 steals.
Yeah.
Which I think were all in the first half.
Definitely. Yeah, all the steals for sure were. Talking on the Lakers, obviously, they didn't have Ingram. And then Chonger is saying that Ingram wasn't there because he didn't want to have to face Gallo.
Strongest man in the league.
Or Patrick Beverley. And I kind of agree. I don't think he'd want it with either one of them.
I guess he took like 6 shots in the pregame and then was just like, my shoulder's done.
Yeah, so we neglected this in our game preview. We just didn't have the info at that time.
No one knew.
Not
our fault.
If you're wondering why we were lacking that's why. We weren't truly lacking.
Yeah. No, you'll never catch us lacking outside the gas station. For the Lakers, LeBron led everybody with 27, 8, and 6. Rondo had a pretty thick triple-double with 24, 10, and 12. I don't know why we can't stop him from rebounding.
We can get into that in a second. But
and then Josh Hart, I would say, played harder than any Laker on the floor last night.
He looked really good. I know he's had some up and down performances. He played hard. There was a play on the fast break with Lou Will where he blocked him, and then nobody else was there, so Lou Will
Everyone
got
was
his
standing
own
on the other side.
Yeah,
it was crazy. He was so mad. He had 17 off the bench. No one else for the Lakers had more than 7.
Wow,
which was pretty incredible. So I think. Should we talk about Beverly's first? Like, he just...
Yeah, just let me just rattle off a few quick things.
Stat
just
him up, bro.
In case you didn't get to see it. They did beat us in fast breaks, which I was really surprised by.
That
it was
is.
17 to 19, so still incredibly close. I kind of thought we would have been more dominant in this aspect, though. Mm. Part of that was, I guess, just probably the rebounding would be the biggest contribution.
And in the beginning of the game, I was a little worried. We almost kind of started to get carved up. Rondo threw one of those, like, beautiful-looking, like... cut bounce passes through the lane, and I was just like, oh, we're gonna see this all night.
Definitely. We did, however, out rebound them in the end, 50-40, including a 28-8 rebounding effort from the bench.
Damn.
So that was pretty solid. And then they did also outscore us in the paint, which I was surprised looking at this stat.
I don't know if I believe
it was
that.
It was 50-52, and I would guess that nearly half of that is just Rondo.
Because
watching the game, I thought that we were the more dominant team in the paint.
Paint was
sure.
open for business.
They really seem to have trouble finishing things close to the basket.
They missed so many close shots.
Yeah, yeah.
And we had a bunch of threes rim out. There was something goofy going on with the rims last night.
But we shot for darn near 50%, 49.4, as opposed to their 42%, which is still a decent field goal percentage. Not great.
Yeah. What'd they shoot from three?
From three, they shot 26% to our 38%.
That 26% is even more depressing when you realize that Rondo went 4 of 10 from 3 for that.
Yeah, yeah. And the actual number on attempts for that one was we went 11 of 29 from 3.
Would have liked to have seen more.
Which is definitely lower. And they went 10 of 38. I was surprised that they had gotten that many attempts in.
Yeah. And 10 of those were just Rondo off the dribble.
For sure.
Which was frustrating to watch.
It's stats like that are always kind of jump out to me because like I didn't think that their ball movement looked very good for the most part. You know, there were some flashes. But
early mostly.
Yeah, but ultimately, yeah, throughout the game, I did not think that they moved the
did
ball
we,
that
what
well.
What was the assist battle between teams?
So the assist battle between teams was we ended up finishing 25 to their 22.
Oh, wow.
And 12, it was actually pretty evenly split with 13 of our assists coming from the starters and 12 from the bench.
That's kind of nice, I guess. So the Lakers held a 10-point lead to start the second, which... it was a pretty downtrodden viewing party, I would say, at my apartment at that time.
Yeah, yeah.
It was not a fun time.
I was a little nervous. It never felt, even when they had their biggest lead, it never felt out of range at all, obviously.
Yeah.
I mean, 10 points is just, you know, that's nothing
it was
in
just that,
three quarters of basketball.
It was that uneasiness.
For sure.
Where we didn't, the at one point there were 14 minutes of gameplay that had happened and 16 fouls had been called.
Yeah, yeah. So early on,
unwatchable basketball.
I was really kind of worried about this officiating. Not that I think that refs would intentionally swing something, but like the Lakers are the kind of players that are going to get more favorable calls
absolutely
than our players. I mean, yeah. if you
nothing wrong with it. It's just how it is.
It's just how it is, and it's not like it's not just for the Lakers. It's kind of more favorable players in general tend to get more favorable calls,
mm-hmm.
and I would say that we're not really those favorable guys.
And we were in full chippy mode.
Yes.
So I think the refs were already kind
from
of
the
not
start,
on our side
from the start.
What was I? Oh, there was a rookie ref last night. It was his first game refing, or maybe his first year refing.
Yeah.
And he was up and down. It just, I don't know. The first, like, quarter and a half was some of the most unwatchable basketball from a refing standpoint.
I was so worried that guys were going to foul out. There were so...
Everyone had both. And we're talking about both sides here.
Yeah.
Like, but the refing was awful for both sides. Shea blocked LeBron at one point on the replay. It was just a clear foul. Garrett Temple got a clean block. They called a foul on Temple. They didn't call the kickball. It was insane.
Yeah.
But then it was kind of back and forth until the fourth when the Lakers just kind of gave up. Shoulders.
We outscored them every quarter except for the first where they outscored us 34-26. The third quarter, we were able to stay alive. We scored 30 points, which is about 5 points better than our average for third quarter performance. So that's really solid.
Yeah, that was big. So we can just start talking about Beverly now, I feel like.
Let's do it, yeah.
The first basket of the game epitomized what Beverly was going to bring to the table.
100%.
Like, so we watched some clips from warmups. We couldn't be at the game last night, unfortunately. But Beverly in warmups was, he looked like a different player.
He's clearly been stewing on this. He's clearly been thinking about this matchup. I would say that last night, Beverly firmly took the spot for me for heart and soul of this team.
We gotta re-sign him.
I kind of go back and forth for me, whether it's Beverly or whether it's Trez. It was firmly Beverly for me after last night.
Yeah. So the first basket of the game, the Lakers won the tip. Bev jumped it, immediately grabbed it, and just sprinted down for a layup.
Yeah.
2 seconds into the game. That was, I mean, he set the tone so fast, which is what we needed last night.
100%.
I would say that without Beverly last night, we would have lost this game.
Yeah. Beverly ended up guarding LeBron for around 23% of LeBron's total possessions, and he held him to 0 of 2. Like, LeBron could not get open.
Didn't do anything
he could good. Not. He could not really make much happen with him covering him like that.
It wasn't even also the shooting that, like, the defensive on the shooting was actually great, too, but just he annoyed the hell out of him, dude.
Yeah.
Like, immediately, like, LeBron kind of did, like, a laugh it off, this guy's being too crazy thing. But
you could tell he was irritated.
Dude, he was not ready
for
this.
Where does that
all
rank for you guys? So let's call it the Pat Bev shutdown of LeBron James versus the Lance Stephenson blow in the year.
Oh, this is miles ahead.
I think this is miles ahead. Yeah.
Didn't the Pacers lose that game?
This is next level.
He broke up an oop. He smacked LeBron's hands anytime he could.
Yeah.
No matter if the ball was nearby or not.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I mean, it was insane.
And it's wild watching a 6'1 guy guard LeBron like that.
He doesn't seem 6'1.
No. I mean, well, it's weird because whenever I see him in the locker room, like, I am taller than him.
Yeah.
Which is very bizarre.
And Will's always telling Pat Beverly, he's like, man, it's crazy how much taller I am than you.
And then he also guarded Rondo really well, which we didn't talk as much about, but he guarded Rondo for 34% of Rondo's total possessions, holding him to 2 of 6. So 33% is really, really solid. Just a quick segue away from Pat for a second here, but Shea guarded Rondo for an additional 41% of Rondo's possessions, and he held Rondo to 5 of 9, which is not quite as good, but still pretty solid defense, I think, from the rookie.
The one frustrating thing I would see was that Shea was getting beat off the dribble by Rondo pretty consistently, and there's no help. Rondo a couple times just kind of went around Shea, and there's no help. And it was probably a defensive thing not to leave anyone open, which I get because Rondo could carve us up.
Definitely.
But it was one of those things kind of early that I was like, oh, this can't. We got to figure something out.
I think that there was also like a tentativeness or passivity that kind of happened after all the early fouls, and I would guess that
that's
was kind
call.
Of part of Shea's tentativeness, too, was, like, wanting to stay out of foul trouble while still just doing the best job defending he could.
Yeah. Great post-game quote from Bev. He said, that's who we do it for, the people in the back, the blue-collar people who don't have a lot given to them. We work for everything they deserve, and that's what we're doing right now. We do it for them. The guy had 5 steals. He also, I learned this from Justin Russo's Twitter, Fly By Night, follow him if you're not, 7 deflections.
Wow.
4 loose balls recovered. Like, I don't know. I want every YMCA player to watch tape of Beverly's play tonight.
For sure.
Like, this is how you play against someone who's theoretically better than you.
Interesting.
It was unbelievable.
Yeah. No, that's a very great moral. Like, that's a
It was
that's,
crazy.
I hope that he one day inspires kids the way that Steph Curry does right now.
Yeah, but the better version. I guess we can talk about Rondo's shooting. Rondo hit 4 of 10 threes.
Which was wild. I feel like the strategy going in was like, let him shoot. If Rondo has to be playoff Rondo or hero Rondo to win this game,
fine.
We'll take that chance.
Yeah. Early transition defense was pretty bad. I also like, if he would have shot 80%, we would have lost this game. I would have been pissed we lost, but I wouldn't have been mad with how we lost.
No.
It's just a thing where it's like, okay, Lightning's going to strike 50 times in the same spot. LeBron did his thing. He was one of the guys getting calls. He had like a continuation of a continuation at one point.
Yeah.
Like, for that to count.
And that tech.
Oh, yeah. Dude, that was insane. I don't know. This whole LeBron had like, so he played, like, stat-wise, he played phenomenally.
Yeah.
But he went 1 of 6 from 3.
Mm-hmm.
He had one of the weirdest decisions on a 3-point shot I think I've seen all year.
Are you talking about when he rolled the ball forever, like to extend the time of possession and then just cranked
he
a 3
He rolled
the
ball to
the
like the
clock?
Corner and like everyone was just kind of watching him. And there was like 3 minutes left or something like that.
Yeah.
This was not and we're not talking the fourth quarter. This was not a situation where this was needed.
Yeah.
And then he just picked the ball up as quickly as he could and Klang to three.
Yeah, I don't know what that was doing there.
Yeah, it was crazy. Kuzma played hard too, as well as Josh Hart. Kuzma had a pretty nasty ankle injury that's actually gonna keep him out of the game against the Nuggets for them.
That makes sense.
Just another blow by that team, dude.
Yeah, injuries obviously have been a huge part of the narrative for the Lakers. I mean, it's a big reason they haven't performed.
Yeah, they missed. I mean, they missed Lonzo
the
Ball
way they should have. But I mean, honestly, like to me, it's not even about the injuries. It's about the effort of the guys that you have on the floor.
It was not there last night,
and it wasn't there on one possession. I'm sure you guys saw the clips on our NBA or Twitter. But Kuzma actually pushed LeBron James into guarding Gallo.
Yeah. Which is not good. And then the kind of like dagger rebound, I guess, was Beverly grabbing a rebound with four Lakers around him.
Yeah.
Like he just grabbed the rebound and they all kind of looked at him and then he passed it out and the game was over.
Yeah.
It was incredible. We can get into Shea and Gallo right now.
For sure.
Again, Gallo, 4 or 5 in the second quarter when we really needed it.
Yeah.
Down 10 points. Huge. Shea's mid-range game seems like it kind of blossomed last night.
It was so good. Yeah.
He really like... I mean, 1 of 2, 3 on the 3-point, 4 assists, no turnovers. Will and I kind of talked about Shea's ceiling when we were at the game on Sunday, and we were saying like 15 and 8.
Yeah, I think that'd be really solid. I mean, 8 assists is a decent amount to average. I mean, Kyle Lowry has led the league with 10, I think, for the last couple years. But that might be different now. That doesn't reflect today's standings.
If we get a superstar and then we keep some of these other pieces, I don't think it's crazy to think he could get around that 8 assist range.
Oh, not at all. Not at all. Just his view of the game is going to get so much bigger, and he's going to come back after the summer in much better condition.
Yeah.
Shea's block on LeBron was very symbolic of the entire Clippers-Lakers narrative this season. Thank you, M. Chong.
Very true.
Yeah.
Trez opened up shop in the paint. McGee had like 2 fouls on him in the first, I don't know, 3.5 minutes.
Yeah, so there was a little bit of a back and forth between these two players, and then Trez just got JaVale's number.
Yeah, 7 of 15.
Yeah.
4 of his misses were jumpers from the free throw line.
Yeah.
Which were kind of weird to see taken, but
definitely.
I guess it was fine.
And some of those were just to keep play alive.
Yeah, for sure. He had 11 boards, which is the second most he's had gotten all season. He also, we've seen this a couple times from Trez this year, he'll get the ball underneath the free throw line, and he'll hit the defender with a ball fake. He's 2 for 2 on these ball fakes.
Oh, yeah, like, yeah. It's a really cool part of his game.
He's really worked on it. It's been fantastic. Outside of Lou and Trez on the bench, they weren't that effective offensively.
I would agree, but I would hesitate just because I don't think that you can underrate the contribution of, like, even though he had 3 points, Jermichael Green was huge in that game.
Yep. Yeah, he guarded LeBron for 22 possessions and Kuzma for 10, held those two guys to 2 of 5 shooting combined.
Yeah, and Garrett Temple just having that sort of length out there, I think is great.
Yeah, he was in this. How many minutes did he play?
He ended up finishing with only 11 minutes.
Yeah, but they all had, I mean, everyone on the bench had a positive plus minus.
Yeah.
Which in a close game like this, I feel like is a nice stat to at least, you know, the effort was there and guys were doing what they were supposed to be doing.
Were you surprised we didn't see more Zubats?
Yes. People were talking about that on Twitter, actually. What's up, John Cooperman? People were talking about that on Twitter. They were kind of wondering why he wasn't out there, and I think it's just because Trez was playing so well.
I would be inclined to agree. I just don't see why you'd bother tinkering with something that's already working. And this is, we've talked about before, you know, like part of the reason I think we have these third quarter slumps is like we resort to rolling out the starting lineup again.
Yeah.
When we,
because like it's maybe like we think we should.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
When, you know, once we've found the matchups that are working, you know, there's no point in changing them too much.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, last night, it's kind of a very cliche thing to say, but the Clippers definitely looked like they actually wanted to win more than the Lakers.
100%.
I sympathize with the Lakers players for this fact. They were getting booed, and then a minute later, they're getting cheers. Then a minute later, it's going right back to boos, and then LeBron is dealing with we want Kobe chants. I can't imagine what it's like to play with a crowd that fickle.
Yeah.
I'm not against fans booing when the product is really bad.
Yeah.
But the, like... You know, I'm not going to say bipolar because that's offensive to people with bipolar, but the flip-flopping between how they felt about the team,
Well, I think you said fickle, and I just think that's the perfect way to describe it.
It's indicative of a lack of culture.
Yeah.
Of current culture.
That's a very good call. Despite having, like, this rich heritage...
The current culture isn't there.
I don't think that it's there currently, yeah.
Coming up after this break, we're going to get some Twitter questions and continue this culture discussion. Yeah, so kind of going off that culture, we mentioned it, Flea and Snoop have both, like, jumped ship.
Yeah.
Which makes sense. That's an old guard of Lakers fans.
Definitely.
They're used to seeing tradition, and, you know, there's a culture when Kobe and LeBron were there.
Yeah.
It's not Kobe, excuse me, Kobe and Shaq. But now it's like the Lakers are just searching for something to plant their flag in culture-wise.
100%.
That's not just, we are the Lakers and we have LeBron.
Yeah.
It was just on, I don't know, it was on display last night.
Well,
I was happy
just
we got
one of those
win,
things like, where, like, they've had, you know, they've even had some decent picks.
Yeah.
And, you know, they just have failed to develop talent in any sort of real meaningful way. And I get that, like, you know, kind of the marquee players and, like, the Showtime thing is pretty, it's a big part of who they are. And it is, like, attractive. But, you know, I would say that, you know, that would also be the downfall of their season this year, you know? Like, it's pretty apparent. They're waiting for this big fish.
Mm-hmm.
And in doing so, you know, maybe wasted a season of
LeBron.
Of the best, yeah, one of the best players in the game right now.
Trez had a great line last night when talking about the history of the Lakers. He said, that's not now.
Yeah.
Trying to start the hashtag on Clipper Nation, hashtag that's not
now. That's not now.
That's not now. It's not at all. So this can kind of travel, speaking about the culture, there's been a bunch of talk, ClipsCast, shout out to @ClipsCast, they wanted to talk about this Stephen A. Smith, Mason in Ireland idea that Doc Rivers is somehow going to coach the Lakers next year.
Which is absurd.
It's based in, I'm okay with sports entertainment pundits
for sure
grasping at things.
Yeah.
There's nothing to grasp at here.
No, not at all. And Doc, you know, I think that all of everybody in Clipper Nation's feelings have probably gone up and down
on
him, just depending.
Yeah.
But feel very solid now. And I just think that he is a loyal guy. And I don't even think there's an amount of money that they could offer him to get him
to
cross the street. Yeah.
Because, like, I mean, the only way in my mind that I could see it is if they give him GM and coach powers.
Yeah.
But even then, he would be leaving the best GM to have.
Yeah.
Which would be him effectively saying, I think I'm a better GM than Jerry West, which he knows he's not.
Yeah.
Because he just, I mean, clearly is a smart man. There's just no loyalty to the Lakers. He has no one in that organization he needs to go prove anything to or link up with again.
Also, how important do you think it is to Doc to get a ring, you know?
Yeah, like, he's got him.
It's, like, gotta be, yeah, yeah. But, I mean, I think it'd just be a nice cap on his career to win, you know, to win titles from both conferences.
Oh, that's a good call, for sure. It's so rooted, you know, it goes along with the same thing of every national pundit being like, I don't think the Clippers really care about making the playoffs.
I know. I was unaware that, like, they were still making this narrative.
Everybody had said,
no, we're going to make the playoffs. We had some trades. We had to do, you know, what we had to do to secure our future and, like, get ready for moving forward. But, like, these are what our plans are.
Yeah, LA Clippers film room, at LA Clippers film, had a great tweet. They said, I feel like the Clippers made a strong free agency pitch tonight.
Definitely.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
We showed what you can do. We showed what actually happens when you build a team. Someone just commented, Doc should win coach of the year. I would be okay with that.
I don't think it'll happen. I think that, like, Malone and Coach Budenholzer are probably ahead of him, but, you know, he's my coach of the year.
We got a good question from Mark Cronin.
Mm-hmm.
Since we have a 98.4% chance of making the playoffs,
okay,
Will, where would you rank these playoff matchups in terms of who you wanted to play to who you don't want to play?
Okay.
Nuggets, Thunder, Blazers, Rockets. Great question, Mark Cronin, by the way. Thank you for always submitting them.
Great question. I'm going to go Blazers.
One.
Is the team I would most like to play.
Okay.
I just think that we'll match up pretty well against them. I just think defensively, if you shut down that backcourt, we've just seen what happens to them in a playoff scenario.
Yeah, I don't think Enes Kanter is roaring them back if Lillard and McCollum can't go.
No, and he's the worst defensive center by plus minus in the league. So I like our odds there. I think Trez would absolutely dump on him on that second unit.
Opening up shop down there.
And then second, I guess I flip-flop between these two. I think I'd rather face the Thunder, though.
Ooh, second. Wow, okay.
Just because I don't feel like the depth is really there. I think that they have some good guys, and obviously the top-tier talent with Paul George is very high up there. But I still think at the same time, like, if you look around him offensively, what you have to shut down, it's not a whole lot.
You're kind of saying, would you agree that they're kind of regular season deep as opposed to playoff deep?
I think it's hard to gauge because, I mean, a lot of times, you know, the the cliche adage is that the team with the best player on the floor wins.
Yeah.
But I do
not last night.
I do think though, you know, especially with a team that struggles shooting and stuff like that,
yeah.
that it does make it harder in a playoff scenario when, you know, you mainly just have to worry about one huge offensive weapon.
For sure. So who's three for you?
So three for me has got to be the Nuggets.
Nuggets hater over here.
Noted Nuggets hater over here. I just this team is deep, which kind of scares me. I don't know. They do have a lot of depth. We haven't had a whole lot of luck against them. I do think that we could sneak a couple games from them. I don't see us winning four.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Yeah, I think it's hard to beat a guy like Jokic in a four-game series when they probably also have home court advantage in a pretty raucous arena with guys who've kind of killed us before this year.
Yeah, and they have a bunch of offensive weapons. They've, you know, some of their defensive prowess has been a little bit luck. Teams have just shot really poorly against them. But yeah, man, just the depth that they have does really worry me. But still, I would rather face them, I guess, than the Rockets. And the reason why is I just don't know that we could come up with an answer for that team defensively.
Yeah, I mean, they have, obviously, Harden, CP3, and then if Capella's going, he's so good.
Yeah.
That's difficult. And, you know, they're a team that, they're a really strong vibe team.
They really are.
And they click on, you know, if CP3's in a good mood and Harden's in a good mood, they're probably going to win.
Yeah.
Like, it's how I feel that, like, if those two guys wake up on the right side of the bed, they're
and
probably
I do give
win.
The annotation that, like a healthy Rockets
yeah,
team.
Yeah, for sure.
That's still a worrisome team to me, and you know we also have a history against the Rockets in the playoffs.
I don't think we need to talk about that.
So that would be my ranking. Do you have does yours differ a lot?
Not really. I would maybe put the Thunder as the one I'd want to least face.
Okay,
just because their defense is so good, and our team we kind of showed it last night when there was a bit of some bad vibes permeating the team. We had some slumped shoulders early, and I was worried that was going to doom us last night. Mm-hmm. I think against a team like the Thunder, that can really extrapolate and get worse.
Definitely.
Especially in their weird religious
arena. Gets really frustrating to play a team like that. I definitely see that.
Quick break, and then we'll take... I got time for like two more questions. So, Giants on the Moon asked us, who would win in a 7-game series, this team or the last year of Lob City?
I would say this team...
7-game series, this team.
I would say this team just because we have all those tools to get under those guys' skin.
Yeah,
and we saw time and time again.
Reddick, basically.
Yeah, we saw time and time again when those guys were able to get rattled. JJ Redick would go so cold in the second half of game.
He'd just stop talking to
people. And like if you obviously DeAndre isn't making any free throws.
We're hacking the hell out of DeAndre. In that
yeah,
situation.
And you get Blake and you get Chris Paul kind of irritated and their game gets altered.
Yeah.
When things aren't going well.
Yeah, I think in a game at a park they beat us. You know?
Yeah.
I think a game at a park, old Lob City beats current team.
I think a one game, one shot, Lob City is beating this.
Yeah.
If it's a seven game series, I like our odds.
As Doc said it, we're not scared of anybody. This was a personnel related question from Davey Neubauer. I apologize if I pronounced that wrong, Davey. If Wilson Chandler's available next game, do you take Shaman out of the starting lineup?
No.
Absolutely not.
No. And I like Chandler. I think that he'll be able to contribute.
For sure.
He just makes more sense to me on that second unit.
Unless for some reason we're going against a very big-ass lineup.
Uh-huh.
For lack of a better term.
Oh, that's fair.
You know, like if it's some in, you know, like Twin Towers type lineup or something like that where we really need to have a big three, I would. But right now it's like, I mean, Shamet didn't shoot horribly last night. He went 3 of 7 from three.
Yeah, 43. He shot for 43%. He finished with a really great stat line to me.
Meaty stat line, 12, 2, and 3
with 0 turnovers once again.
Turnovers were great last night.
So that was really solid. We actually lost turnovers. Would you believe if I told you that? 16 to 12.
Shit. Well, F me. I was wrong about that one.
I do like the idea, though, of him on the second unit a lot. If you run out a front court that involves
Luke, who might be back soon.
I was thinking Temple, because we have him right now.
For sure.
Temple, Chandler, Trez, or Zubats if you really need the length. I think that's really a pretty powerful combination.
I'm super into that. Guys, that's going to wrap this up for the episode recording. We're going to stick around on the Twitter stream to talk with you guys. No game until Friday.
Yeah.
So we're kind of hanging out. Tomorrow we're going to have a What Could Have Been Wednesday. We got a couple just kicking on the front porch episodes for you guys. If you're listening, please rate and subscribe on iTunes. Really helps us out.
Definitely.
Give a funny review. We'll talk about it on the show. I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I'm William the Opinion Updike. Also, if you haven't yet, please subscribe on iTunes. Leave us a rating. Leave us a review. We'd love to hear from you. Yeah, that's about it. Thanks for listening.
See you guys tomorrow.